Well, good evening. This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com. It is Wednesday, February 14th, 2024. Happy Valentine's Day, OGs and converts. We love you very much. We have missed you. But we're back in the thick of it with more content tonight. And, of course, the Sunday Spectacular. We're counting down the minutes until that big show as well, meaning we're essentially back on track after a couple of crazy weekends, you know, with the Super Bowl and all, Michael P. Augello in Cheektowaga, New York. Happy Valentine's Day to you, my friend. We'll give you some details on what's going on with Oak Ridge Ford here in the next few minutes. But first, Corey Parrish. Good evening, Norman, Mike, and Leafs Nation near and far. Just wanted to say I just got married a couple of hours ago and still wouldn't miss out on a live stream. Go Leafs, go. Corey Parrish is what you call an OG. When in context and in relation to the Leafs Convo project that started back in, 2018 in terms of a YouTube scenario, Michael. So congratulations, Corey Parrish. And that's super dedication. Already strike one with the new wife. So, yeah. Michael, good evening.
How romantic of you, Corey. Good evening, Norm. And, the fact that you're watching the Convo on your wedding day, on Valentine's Day, you know, I'll just say Bob it, and I won't say anything more than that.
Jeez, that's why OakRidgeFord.com is the place you're going to find your next vehicle. I have like 0% interest through 60 months, 0.9972, 19984 on F-150 XLT and Lariat 2023. They're going like hotcakes, not many left. Once 2024 rolls around, they're going to be amazing. But they're going to come up in price, and everybody's complaining about the cost of things these days. Get in on low interest or no interest at all. OakRidgeFord.com, at Norman Oak Ridge Ford. You know how to get me. The guys are fired up today, Michael. The Leafs pulled off a nice win over the St. Louis Blues last night. Ilya Samsonov, another win. Bobby McMahon, all of 5 career goals, picking up a hat trick. That's a memory that he'll never forget. It was great for Leafs fans to watch that and immerse themselves in some joy. And, you know, the team kind of ramped up and running on adrenaline after how things transpired in the end of the scenario between the Sens and the Leafs, a Battle of Ontario that got pear-shaped pretty quickly after one Ridly Gregg slaps in an empty netter, and Morgan Rielly was having none of it. I know you've been chomping at the bit to have your say about this on the Convo, so the floor is yours, Mr. A.
Yeah, first of all, Ridly Gregg is a punk. That was a punk move, and it was done to elicit a response. I don't think he imagined that he was going to get Morgan Rielly suspended for 5 games. We'll talk about that in a second, but it was, I agree with the support from the, his teammates and the commentary afterward of, Sheldon Keefe that it was appropriate because it was done to show up the team. I've heard people say, well, if you didn't want him to do that, then you stop him from scoring an empty net goal. Well, he was home and cooled out. There was no other than throwing the stick. What could you really do to stop him from scoring into an empty net?
So, he was trying to punctuate the win, be emphatic about it. It was a childish move, and he paid the price for it.
Right, and the reason that he was punctuating it is because, as usual, in like most of the Canadian cities, there are more Leaf fans in the building than there are fans of the Senators. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody who are fans of the Senators right now because they're playing so crappy, and they have a lot, and they have a lot of talent too. I mean, there's I'd love to have some of the players that they have,
right?
But they're not playing particularly well, but overall, they've actually played pretty decently recently. You get pissed off that your building is full of Leaf fans. You've won the game. So he takes the slap shot and Rielly gives him a combing. Now, the thing is, and I chronicled this in my column in Hockey Buzz on Monday, the penalty handed out by the league was ridiculous. It was done because it was retaliatory. It was done because it was on Hockey Night in Canada. And it was done because it was the Maple Leafs. And I've said that from the very point, the league, the five games is the second most stringent penalty this season. The only one that larger was the David Perron cross check on Artem Zub a few months ago. And that was a retaliatory cross check on Zub, who was not the guy who injured Dylan Larkin. So the guy, so Perron got the wrong guy. In this instance, Riley got the right guy, but he did not injure Greg. He hit him on the shoulder. The stick rode up and hit him in the jaw. He was fine. He practiced the next day. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an injury that got him five games. It was the fact that it was retaliation. And whenever the NHL can virtue signal, and they can do that by sending a message by suspending somebody from a big market team, namely Toronto, they do it. They gave Michael Bunting three games last year in the playoffs for a stupid penalty, but something that I don't think was worthy of three games. And in this instance, they give Riley five games. He's gonna appeal it. But the strategic thing about this, and this is why, you know, if you remember, the Jason Spezza injury or Jason Spezza suspension from a couple years ago when he kneed Neil Pionk in the head. It was six games. The rules regarding suspensions in the NHL is six games or more, it goes to Bettman, and then it goes to an independent arbitrator, and it can get reduced. Five games or less, it goes to just Bettman. He'll never overturn his own Department of Player Safety. Never.
So, Jose Duarte, I think Riley will go down to three games. So, Mike, you've already crossed out that possibility.
Not a chance. It'll stick at five. Bettman will never undercut George Parros. You know, I saw something on social media where in the George Parros era, the Leafs are the second most suspended team next to the Boston Bruins.
What is with that? George Parros was a goon. Like, don't think he has any, you know, goon sensibility when he's making these determinations? He knows what it's like. He understands, or he should understand, what the passionate aspect can do to a player, both good and bad. Or, you know, is he basically the figurehead who administers rulings based on a set of guidelines that are preordained, and he really can't make any objective observation or ruling about?
Well, I hope it's not what Mr. Chris in the chat just said, but a lot of people say, well, remember, one of George Parros's last games was when he got knocked cold by Colton Orr of the Leafs. I would doubt that he holds a grudge on the organization because of that, but I think it's more, like I said, I think it's virtue signaling. I think it's the fact that they can send a message louder. You know, it's like a clarion call out there when they suspend a Leaf player. Look at the response it's gotten on social media, on Toronto radio, you know, guys like Jeff O'Neill saying that this is ridiculous, or, you know, Kiprios and Justin Bourne, or, you know, Jeff Merrick, or any, you know, like, it's gotten a lot of attention. I mean, there's no doubt it was a retaliatory situation where,
oh, big deal,
right, and that's the thing. But this is the thing that I documented by video in my blog on Monday. That I think I linked four videos in there. One of them, which was the most on spec with what Riley did, was Austin Matthews and what he did to Rasmus Dahlin and they hit the Heritage Classic a couple years ago. And I was at that game, and he cross-checked Aline across the neck, and he got a two-game suspension. There is video of Jimmy Vesey getting cross-checked by Alex Chiasson at the end of the game of an Edmonton-Toronto game, no penalty. Mm-hmm. Joel Edmondson cross-checking Wayne Simmonds in the playoffs, nothing. I mean, that wasn't even the worst suspension or the worst infraction of the day.
So the evidence you're laying out that many support and others are going to contest, it's a case that is not built on conspiracy. This is a case built on reality. And our contention is the league is biased against the Maple Leafs.
Well, I mean, it's tough to draw any other conclusion. Of course, you know, people will say I'm a conspiracy theorist,
right?
By saying that, but I'm sorry, the evidence is there. When, you know, and yeah, I can go back in ancient history when Ty Domi gets suspended 8 games for punching Ulf Samuelsson, sucker punching him. That was ridiculous. The 6-game suspension for Spezza, like I mentioned, ridiculous. Right. Now you could say, well, of course I do a Leaf podcast. I cover the Leafs, so I'm going to be biased in favor of the Leafs.
Right.
I look at some of the other things that happened.
That's right. That's right. You're Mr. in favor of the Maple Leafs. Anybody who's watched our content the last 6 seasons would tell you generally otherwise.
There's nobody more critical than this of this team than myself and you. So it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, now, you know, I'm basing my analysis on the fact that Nikita Zadorov elbowed Lucas Raymond on Saturday, got immediately suspended for 2 games. It was a predatory elbow at center ice, and he hit him head with a head hit, and that was 2 games. And he has a history of suspensions. And Morgan Rielly got more for that crap. So it's ridiculous. Now you mentioned the game against St. Louis. Boy, the Leafs had a day. Not only did Rielly get suspended, they found out that Martin Jones had a minor injury, so they had to call up Dennis Hildeby.
Yeah.
They found out that Connor Timmins has mono, so he's out indefinitely.
Right.
They found out Mitch Marner and John Tavares had the flu, so they couldn't play.
Right.
They had to call up Alex Steeves from the Marlies, and McMahon was not supposed to play, and he then found out he was in the lineup, and then he scores a hat trick. They played an almost near-perfect game. They had to, because they were – not playing on fumes, but they were playing with a shorthanded lineup, and you know, Samsonov only faced 15 shots, so it was a very good effort. But
right,
they're going to be hard pressed without Rielly. It's 4 games, yeah. 2 more on this homestand, and 2 more on the road, and you know, they're going to play some tough opponents, and they're going to be without their best defenseman.
The Leafs with 32 shots on goal against the Blues. St. Louis responding with 15, not the greatest of teams. The Leafs have had their way with the Blues this season. Bobby McMahon, a hat trick, a really nice story amongst some, you know, challenging circumstances for the Maple Leafs. Hey, this is really nice. Mo Johangard, I don't recognize the name, but dropping $5 on us. We're like a couple of content buskers. Love your show, guys, but I find your views on Rielly very biased.
Okay, in the chat, Mo, what would you think was a valid suspension? If you think 5 games for that is a valid suspension, then you're biased in the other direction. And I believe, you know, I heard immediately, Norm, I heard people comparing that to Dale Hunter and Pierre Turgeon. And when I heard that, I said, go bleep yourself, because that's ridiculous. You know, Pierre Turgeon was out for 6 games in a conference final because of Dale Hunter. Ridley Gregg practiced the next day.
Right. So did Morgan Rielly's actions warrant a suspension? Sure. Mazidakis out of Windsor, Detroit, Ford man, 2 games max. I mean, that's what I thought he should have gotten. And hey, I'm sure Morgan Rielly would have been fine with that. He when he went after Greg, you know, he had to know that there were going to be some consequences. 5 games, certainly excessive, and this is where, you know, we start to get defensive about the way the Maple Leafs are viewed and ultimately treated by the league when it comes to this sort of stuff weighed against players of other teams doing the same kinds of things and not facing the same sorts of consequences. Am I proud that Morgan Rielly went and hit this cat? Yes, I absolutely am, because you shouldn't be pulling off that bullshit in that kind of circumstance in against a team that is a traditional rival after it loses that way. If you just tap in a empty netter and go about your business, and Morgan Riley does that, makes zero sense. But the rivalry, the circumstance, the show boatsmanship of Greg to do something so stupid and asinine. And I'll tell you, Mike, you know, there are a lot of people out there, the hockey mob who hate physicality altogether and, you know, wanted the book thrown at Riley and likened what he did to Dale Hunter's mugging of Pierre Turgeon. But, you know, if you were to take a poll amongst players, what do you think they'd be saying about what happened? I'll guarantee you, quietly, most of them would have said that, you know, had they done the same thing, they would have expected the same sort of fate, Mike. Right. What Riley did was not that crazy. Actually, it was pretty warranted. He knew he was going to get suspended. The fine was excessive based on how Greg, just got up and played the next day. But, you know, we can have the conversation about the way the Leafs are treated. I want to treat Morgan Riley with a ton more respect for doing what he did in that situation. It was certainly called for. Austin Matthews thought it was called for. The head coach thought it was called for. Your buddy Ryan Reeves thought it was called for. Ryan Reeves made a great point. He said, when I first started in the league, if I pulled some bullshit off like that, I'd still be laying on the ice.
Yeah, but
for real.
And that's a valid point, but the thing is the league is not like that anymore, unfortunately. I mean, you could say, you know, that back then there was more frontier justice. Right. I mean, I'll just say this. I mean, Morgan Riley going into that game had 8 penalty minutes. You could have made a case for it that he was a candidate for the Lady Bing.
And I think it's riled up the fan bases for him. Yeah. And I think it's riled up his team. Are the Leafs going to go on a run of epic proportions? I doubt it, knowing who they are. Well, but it's galvanized the crew. It's got everybody kind of on the same page. It's got us. We're not shitting on Ryan Reeves right now. We're not worried about the goaltending. We're, you know, quietly we are. But we're all kind of singing from the same songbook.
Yeah.
We feel like the world's against us. And maybe that's what the team needs to start believing, that the league's against them, other teams are against them, people are going to show them up, they all think they're a bunch of pussies. Hey, go on a run and pound your way into the playoffs. Mo's back here. Look, if the roles were reversed, Leafs fans would be rioting. You know, I don't think so. I honestly, Mo, I really don't think so. If one of the jackass call-ups from the Marlies did something like that and then got hit, sure, you know, we would be supportive of our guy. But don't think for a second we wouldn't be having these conversations about being a little bit more professional and a little bit more cognizant of your surroundings, especially when you haven't been there very long.
Yeah, I know that it was brought up by Jeff Merrick on his show that Claude Giroux, after the game, was not exactly effusive in his defense of Greg. And he thinks that was sort of symptomatic of the fact that Giroux played for the Flyers and knows the code in the league, and
right.
Greg sort of broke the code. Now, I'll say this, and you know what my complaint about the Leafs in recent years has been. They lay down to the dregs of the NHL. And the Ottawa Senators, even though they're playing better lately, are one of the worst teams in the league record-wise this season. They've lost 3 of 4 to them. Right. If this sparks the Battle of Ontario again, back to the Tucker Alfredson days, great. Because you cannot lay down, you cannot let a team that of the quality or lack thereof of the Ottawa Senators this year to win 3 of 4 games. The 6 points that you lost might be the difference between making and missing the playoffs. You've lost to Buffalo. You've lost twice to Chicago. You know, how many more years is it going to be that this particular group of players loses to the – I don't care if the other teams work themselves up into a lather. You know, going in there – I mean, the only game that they won against Ottawa this year was when Joseph Woll was Superman and made about 5 saves before he sprained his ankle. So, you know, that's a commentary on this team, Norm.
Yeah. You know, vigilante justice maybe misplaced, but it happened. And hey, with Morgan Riley, there was a lot of frustration there, not just aimed at the kid who takes a slap shot on an empty net. I've honestly never seen that before. I've never seen that before. And he took issue with that, but it kind of exemplifies the general frustration of the player and the team that is, you know, born and metastasizing as the season goes on because of these types of losses. So it was just a concoction of a lot of, you know, ill-timed circumstances and things going on, plus frustration that led to what Riley did in central to it all, you know, this dumbass doing what, you know, putting on a frigging show on an empty net to, you know, highlight a win. And geez, the highlights really went south quickly. And again, I'm proud of what Morgan Riley did in essence. I'm glad that Greg didn't get really hurt. And here's the thing, within context, considering where we are in the season and how things have developed from that particular situation, it may become a blessing for the Leafs. If the same sort of response happens in the playoffs and Riley gets booted in a pressure cooker environment where every game is potentially life or death, that's a different situation. It harkens back to the old, you know, the Nazem Kadri, you know, back-to-back seasons getting kicked out. So we'll take it. We'll take it. They'll have to find a way to survive without this guy and get some players back from the infirmary. But all in all, if it does rally the group to the extent where it's them versus the world, and they go out and play with a little more reckless abandon, a little more determination, a little more grit, vim and vigor, then you know what? Morgan Riley's done a damn good job in getting this done. Even though he's going to be sitting five games and, you know, he could have hurt a player. Last couple of words to you, Mike, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. The curious thing, and, you know, we'll be talking about this leading up to the March 8th trade deadline. And we know that, you know, the Leafs don't have a lot of flexibility, although, you know, there's still a lot of talk about them making trades. I don't know how many they're going to make, and I don't know of what consequence because they're right up against the cap. But it was conspicuous since I'm burning the candle at both ends, covering the Sabres for the Hockey News as well as Leafs for Hockey Buzz, that I'm at all the Sabres games. And the last two games, the Leafs have been represented. Brad Treliving was in Buffalo at the St. Louis Blues game on Saturday afternoon, and their assistant GM Ryan Hardy was in the press box on Tuesday night when they played LA. So
pause for a sec. For a second. I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
When the general manager is making a trip to a rink that is not his own or across the Gardner to Coca-Cola Coliseum, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, sometimes it means it's a night off for his team and he's just, you know, Toronto and Buffalo, it's a 90-minute drive if you drive like me. And, you know, so, I mean, he could have just been coming down to check out a game. But the Leafs were playing in Ottawa that night, so you would think that there's a little more meaning to it. He could have been there to – and, he could have been talking to – Doug Armstrong, the Blues GM, or Kevin Adams, the Sabres GM. I mean, I wasn't witness to that, but that could be a reason why he was there. But the fact that it was followed up by another Leaf scout, which is their AGM, Ryan Hardy, gives me the thought that they're looking at somebody on the Sabres roster, and they were there for both. You know, the Sabres were the common thread there. Right. I don't believe it's going to be anything major because the Sabres will never trade anything big with the Leafs. If they ever make a deal with the Leafs, the last major deal the Maple Leafs and the Sabres made was Grant Fuhr for Darren Pupa, Dave Vaynerchuk, and a first round pick.
What was that, 91?
93. That was it was 31 years ago.
And Fuhr was the backup for Felix Potvin on that run.
Well, they were sharing it, but they realized that Potvin was good enough to be the number one, and they got a backup in Pupa, who was a pretty good goaltender. So, you know, they decided, and, you know, Andrew, they needed the score to play with Doug Gilmore, and that was perfect. But anyway, but the point being is they haven't made a deal of major consequence in 31 years, and they're division rivals. So I don't think that there's going to be anything major, but the Sabres do have a bunch of unrestricted free agents. Right. And the last couple games, because of the injuries to David Kampf, who's back, and Kali Yarncroke, the four penalty killers have been Marner, Matthews, Nylander, and Pontus Holmberg. And God forbid, if you're a Leaf fan, that Austin Matthews breaks his hand blocking a shot. Right. That pretty much ends their season. So
do you not want him in those circumstances?
No, I don't want.
Really?
No, I mean, I understand the motivation of Keefe and these players. They want to play as much as possible. And the best defense sometimes is a good offense. And if you have a guy like Matthews and Nylander killing penalties, they threaten going the other way against.
Doesn't killing penalties and doing it effectively at this stage of their careers make them the kinds of players not only we want them to be, but they want to become?
I want them playing 5-on-5 that way, not penalty killing, because penalty killing, you're purely in a defensive situation and you're blocking shots. And Tage Thompson for the Sabres, who was a scorer, who scored 47 goals last year, was killing penalties, broke his hand, and was out 6 weeks. So you don't.
Like, they can't break out the responsibilities that effectively because they just don't have enough guys who can do things at an elite level in a niche way. You know, Marner's been a penalty killer since he got in the league.
Yeah.
Is he not as.
No,
as,
I mean.
Is he not as worthy of getting that? That special treatment as Austin Matthews?
No, I mean, Mitch Marner has an innate ability of not, you know, he avoids contact and I've never seen him get hurt on the PK. Now watch, I'll say that and he'll, you know, somebody will shoot one off his foot.
Knock on all of that wood in your basement, Mike.
Yeah, lots
of those wood panel walls. It's old school.
But my point on what they're looking at, I think that the Sabres have a number of forwards who are penalty killers. Eric Robinson, the former Blue Jacket, might be a guy that they might be able to get for relatively cheap. That is, you know, a good penalty killer and fourth line guy. So I don't think it's anything major, but it was conspicuous by the fact that the Leafs were there for two straight games and they play Florida tomorrow night. Buffalo does. And if the Leafs are there again, then that will really spark a lot of interest.
Yeah. You don't want to bolster a rival, but if you're not on the same timetable competitively as your rival and you can do something to benefit your team that might immediately benefit your rival, you're not a professional organization if you don't strongly consider it. Right. So, I mean, this is where we are. Real quick, Mo, he threw $5 at us, so I'm going to let him get back into the show. Sorry, are you praising someone who cross-checks someone in the face? Yes, I am. What Ridley Gregg did was unprofessional and stupid, and he deserves some retribution. He got it. And Mo, end of story.
Mo, he didn't. Okay. It's one thing if you do this is going back a few years. But if you remember when Chris Simon was playing for the Islanders and he took a baseball swing at the head of Ryan Hallwig and hit him in the forehead. And if he had hit him an inch lower or an inch higher, he would have killed him. And he got suspended for 15 games. That was purposeful.
Right. Wasn't Bertuzzi Moore.
Right. Morgan Rielly cross-checked him on the shoulder and it rode up and it hit him in the jaw. He did not injure him. That has to be factored in, and it wasn't. And this was hardly the second worst offense in this season in the NHL, but it was penalized that.
Spike 11, definitely a convert. That's what makes hockey great, Norm. Instant karma. Alan Hawick into Decentraland. Rielly did what had to be done. Look. This team, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, in the same kind of situation, may not have retaliated the way it did on Saturday night. So he got suspended 5 games. You have two factions going at it over, you know, how terrible this was and how, you know, brave what Riley did, and how it should be celebrated for the fact that, you know, you're not going to take any bullshit. At the end of the day, this may motivate the Maple Leafs in a way that we wanted them to be motivated prior to what happened Saturday night. And if this team comes together and plays together as if it's it against the world and can do some really positive things between now, the trade deadline, and game 82 and bust its way into the playoffs and just make it entertaining and make it adventurous and give us some hope, then hell, you know, again, Morgan Riley and his cross check to the shoulder slash face of Ridley Gregg will pay dividends in more ways than, you know, just a bunch of Leaf fans, you know, hating the Senators for all of they do. Brass tacks, though, that empty net goal, slap shot, it was a fucking slap to the face of the Leafs and its fans. And if a Leaf player did that and a team responded the same way that Riley did, we might be upset because by default we defend our own. But deep down, we know that that player deserved the retribution for such a dumbass move. Mike, finally, last word to you.
Well, it's going to be a difficult 4 games without Morgan Riley. The Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow night for the Leafs. I mean, I think they need to go 2-2 in this stretch without him. Last year, when he didn't play that long stretch when he had a knee injury, that was some of their best hockey of the season. So they're going to sort of need to suck it up and play their best hockey without their best defenseman.
Yeah, the show goes on. If you don't have all of the crew raring and ready to go, who's ever capable and willing, you put them in and you got to go for it. And again, this team won't win a Stanley Cup just because Austin Matthews is playing at peak. You need a full complement of guys. And if Austin Matthews is not there, Riley's not there, someone has to step in and be that guy. And it's a character builder. But regardless of Riley's presence or not, Mike, the presence of that extra bravado, that sense of urgency, that, you know, woe is us against the world mentality, that will pervade, right? That will be prevailing over what this team does over the next several games. And hopefully it continues on through the remainder of the season. Because when I look at the standings, right now it's the Leafs and Red Wings in a battle for the top wildcard spot. I know Tampa Bay is only a point ahead, but, you know, Florida's, 8 points ahead. Boston's 12 points ahead. The Leafs might be jockeying for position as a wild card team. And, you know, I doubt that the Canadiens or Sabres are going to go on a run of epic proportions and the Leafs are going to falter, especially not after what Mr. Morgan Riley did to kind of spurn them on. But I'll tell you, there's still a lot of meat left on that bone and there's a lot of work to do. And a galvanized group is the team that can go to work the best. Real quick, Terry, 3 G's. Evening, pre-birthday show for me. Yay. Happy pre-birthday, Terry. OG's Converse, like the content, subscribe to the channel. OakridgeFord.com is where you're going to get your next vehicle. I have a lot of used vehicles, too. We're a big used car center in southwestern Ontario. At Norman Oakridge Ford on Instagram. Get some follows in there, guys. You can DM me if you have any questions about vehicles. I'd be more than happy to help you out. And when you help us out through, you know, clicks to our sponsor links, it makes the sponsor more inclined to continue sponsoring us. And, you know, it does help the bottom line for what we're trying to accomplish and us creating more content for you. Hockeybuzz.com is where Mike does his thing. A lot of content recently on everything that went on with Greg and Riley. Mike, thank you very much for that. And all you do even when you're covering the Buffalo Sabres. So let's let the Leafs get back on the ice and see how things transpire against the Flyers. Maybe another win, maybe another entertaining game. And, another opportunity for this team, even without a full complement of its best players continue to strengthen its resolve and get down to brass tacks and, you know, really super focus on what's ahead. And that's to play well and position itself as best it can to fight really hard to do some damage in the playoffs and surprise all of us. So, Mike, if you don't have anything else to say, I'm going to shut her down. OG's Converts, thanks for being here. We appreciate all of the love and the support. We're going to be back with you on Sunday. So for Mr. A, I'm Mr. J. The Leafs Combo is out.